everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Melanated Moments in Classical Music. I'm your co-host, Angela Brown.
And I'm Joshua Thompson. Angela, today I've got a composer whose melanated melange of greatness and cultural roots and influences covered the entire globe, and whose talents and compositions qualify her as one of the most revered artists of her time.
Ooh, baby, now we're talking. And who is this illustrious woman of note, Mr. Joshua?
Well, today we're talking about none other than composer, pianist, Pulitzer Prize winner, and the most recent honoree of the Kennedy Center Honors, Tanya Leone.
Hey!
Yeah, she's bad. Let me give you just a little bit of background on this dynamic and diasporic cultural gem. So, she was born in Havana, Cuba in 1943, and so she is a composer, conductor, educator, and artistic consultant of Cuban, African, Chinese, Spanish, and French heritage.
She is
the whole pot. Like, God had ingredients. He was like, mix all this together, stir, shake, and bam. Right. She's awesome.
Delicious.
So she began studying piano at the age of four. And if you remember, around her lifetime when she's born and coming of age in the 60s, Cuba is really kind of going through it, right? We've got Castro and Bay of Pigs and all that. And so she and her family immigrate to the United States as refugees, transported on those, unfortunately, all too common Miami freedom flights. Right. So she's escaping this oppressive regime. Mm-hmm. Her family and her moved to New York, and she continues her music education at New York University. And in 1969, she becomes the founding member and the first musical director of Arthur Mitchell's Dance Theater of Harlem. Yeah. And so she establishes its music department, the music school, and the orchestra.
Wow.
So she does that for quite several decades and composes. And from 1993 to 1997, she was the new music advisor to the New York Philharmonic. She served as Latin American music advisor and to the American Composers Orchestra until 2001. And when I tell you I'm reading this bio and it goes on and on and on, I'm going to hit you with the cliff notes because she's just done so, so much. She's been the subject of profiles and interviews on ABC, CBS, CNN, PBS, Univision, and she's had commissions that were from the JF Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, the Library of Congress, National Endowments for the Arts, and on and on. She's got 40 chamber works, 10 orchestra pieces, 6 ballets, numerous vocal compositions, and pieces for piano. She's just absolutely stunning, and we will talk all about this fabulous lady, but that is like the quickest rundown I can give you, and that was a long rundown.
I mean, she's such a prolific, dynamic lady and has such an obvious representation of culture, innovation, and artistry. Just remarkable.
Those are the perfect words, and I 120% agree. I really do. So her compositions are a fantastic representation and illustration, not just of her heritage, but of her very humanistic perspective and how she views her place in the world and her role in it.
Well, how so?
So we're going to listen to a couple of her works, but I really think the best way to kind of explain this is using her own artist statement. And I think it's brilliant. So she says, "I am who I am. Thanks to my mestizo heritage and my ancestors from China, Nigeria, France, and Spain, I'm a citizen of the world with a global consciousness. And I do not like to be categorized by race, gender, or nationality. My music is my contribution to mankind. This is my heritage, and I'm proud of it."
All right now, but you on Melanated Moments in Classical Music, baby. I'm sorry. But fabulous. I like that though, Joshua. Can we hear an example of her broad contribution to mankind in music?
Well, of course we can. What, you thought I was going to not let you listen to her stuff? Of course we can. Come on now. There really is a lot to choose from. But let's start out. I'm going to give you like a little softball, right? Mm-hmm. And I really, really like the wittiness and dexterity of this first piece, mainly because it also happens to be my repertoire. It's just so much fun. This is her prelude number one, also known as Sorpresa or Surprise.
Well, that was a surprise. I didn't know it was over. I was waiting. I love that. It's quick, it's witty, and what a fun way to turn a piece on its head with the final phrase of surprise.
My thoughts, exactly. It's a quick in and out, and I think it demonstrates the dexterity of the musical language that she has within her and really taps into. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's a combination of so many influences and cultures, Joshua. Is there a piece you can think of that really highlights her Afro-Cuban lineage?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. There is, and it's fun, and it's festive, and it's called Alegre, which means joyful in Spanish. You know, Leon uses a very contagious Latin groove that compels one to dance and dig into those offbeat accents and really spreads into this spirit improvisation that is just, well, it's just joyful. So Listen to a little bit of joy today. How about that?
Okay.
Thank you.
That feels like dancing in the street or being at a block party, baby. Or in New Orleans doing the cakewalk or, yes. You know, doing the second line or one of them lines. Child, just fabulous. I loved it.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember you wanting to bring her into the show last season, but not being able to coordinate the schedules and stuff. But even since last season, she's continued this illustrious career full of compositions and accomplishments. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
For sure. And I do echo your sentiments. It was a whole block party and street party over here. And I saw your stank face as you was grooving with it. It's just fun. It's fun. But you know, you're right. I really wanted her on the show last season. She busy. She stays busy. And even since then, I mean, she's still racking up these accolades and things that just add to this already brilliant career. Because I wanted to bring her on to discuss her 2021 Pulitzer Prize winning piece in music. It was just lauded absolutely everywhere. And it was called Stride, or it is called Stride. And she was commissioned to do it, her and other and 19 other women composers. And hers was selected as an homage that was meant to acknowledge the centennial anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment. For those of you out there unfamiliar, it's the 19th Amendment that actually gives women the right to vote in America in 1920, right? So very timely for all this. And, you know, Leon was looking for inspiration and things in her life and the life in which she lives to create this. And she really landed on the life and times of Susan B. Anthony, you know, the very famous suffragist, as inspiration for this piece, this driving piece that archives musically the women's rights movement from its inception.
Let's hear a little bit of.
Okay, we can hear a portion of it. I've been like scanning everywhere to find a whole one, and I can't find one because it was just premiered in February of 2020. So it's still very, very new. But we're going to hear an excerpt from the New York Philharmonic's rehearsal because they world premiered the piece. And there's a couple friends in that video, principal clarinetist Anthony McGill, who we've had on this show. It was just kind of really special seeing him, you know, play and perform on this. So this is kind of a nice little melanated moment, family type of homage.
Fan club.
Yeah, it is. So let's listen to this excerpt of Tanya Leone's Stride, and then we'll discuss it afterwards.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. When it was totally different from the allegre, the joyful. But you can hear the steps and the strides of women making their way to their destiny to vote. So yeah, I like this one.
You can, and it's important to remember this is a very small excerpt. It's a much broader work. Mm-hmm. And what I do like about it is there's that consistent and steady in the low brass and percussion, that boom, boom, boom. Okay. You know, those are those, like you said, the strides and the steps that you can hear. And there's all this crazy cacophony that's going on in the middle. She intentionally does this because it really compels folks to kind of go back to the history of the women's suffragist movement so you can really hear what's going on. So there's an interview that she did, I think, last year with NPR that's just excellent, shares a few more excerpts and just kind of gives a little bit more into Miss Leon. But I think she's amazing. She can give you everything from a surprise to a street party and even score a whole women's movement. The sister is bad. And to show you how bad she is, in December of this year, she's going to be a recipient of the Kennedy Center Honors along with the likes of Miss Gladys Knight. They're going to ride that midnight train to the Kennedy Center, honey.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite singers. And I tell you, that is great. Joshua, this was a wonderful feature of a composer who I'm sure many may not be aware of, because I know this was my first time really delving into who she was, but I bet me and others are going to take a deeper dive into her growing catalog.
You know, and I hope that's the case for you and for everyone, because she's still out here kicking. She's still representing humankind. And, yeah, I think she's a fascinating person, well worth the time taking that deeper dive. So that's all the time we got for this episode. As always, I'm Joshua Thompson.
And I'm Angela Brown.
And this has been Melanated Moments in Classical Music.
Our product partner is RLX Acoustics, an Indianapolis-based company dedicated to developing acoustical products that offer a high-quality listening experience. We thank them for their support of our podcast.